Tonight on 10 reasons people go back. 10 reasons people go back. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Minister by your Holy Spirit. Now, God, you know the hearts of all people. Lord, you know why you've put this on my heart of late, what you want to say to us. You know whom, Lord, you want to touch tonight. God, I believe you desire to save someone tonight. Change their life for now and eternity. Now, Lord, help us to be anointed and to speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. One of the greatest joys of a church, see if you cannot agree with me, one of the greatest joys of a church, of a believer, and of a minister is to see somebody come to Christ. Isn't that a time of rejoicing? To watch someone come to Christ. If that's a in fact, the Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven when someone comes to Christ. If someone's coming to Christ is the greatest source of joy, would you also agree that one of the greatest disappointments of the church, one of the greatest disappointments of the believer, one of the greatest disappointments of the minister, and one of the greatest disappointments of heaven is when someone had been following Christ and then they turn back from fall. Isn't that a great disappointment? That's why I said these are sad verses. In fact, you can almost hear the man Jesus in his discouragement when he turns to those who stayed with him and he looked and says, who's going to be next? Which of you will be the next one to turn back? You can almost hear the disappointment in Christ's voice in the verse that I read. I know I feel that acutely as a pastor, especially I'm thinking of young people I've seen grow up in church. I've seen them in the youth camps, tears running down their face. I've watched them fill with the Holy Ghost under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I've seen them in all the things of God. And then I've watched them as they turn from following the Lord, go back and backslide. Recently, a young man visited, used to be in the church here, used to be one of the young men that I felt God had his hand on, especially one I thought would never turn back. And he has. And I said to him, simply, you're breaking my heart. And his response was, I know it. But it's not just my heart that was broken. It's God's heart that was broken. Will you also go away? The Hurst family is facing a separation real soon. Micah is going to be leaving this month of June for special training, for basic training, and then special training for the special forces of the Army. And he had told me about something we could watch on the computer about all the training that he's going through, that special force training. And I began to watch that and see what they put those men through. And then they made a statement that less than 50% of the candidates made it through the training. Less than 50%. And they began to give the reasons why they quit, why they gave up, why they dropped out. And I began to think about that. I'm going to do that a little bit tonight with serving the Lord. But my point is, whatever is the reason that people go back from serving Jesus, it simply is not a valid reason. There is no legitimate reason. When you have found the Lord, when he has changed your life, when he's given you eternal life, when he's given you the hope of heaven, when he straightened out your life when nothing else could, when he gave you peace when you had no other source of peace, there is no legitimate reason for a person who has found and followed the Lord. There's no legitimate reason for turning back. No matter how you reason it, no matter what you've been through, there is no reason for turning back. But there's ever reason for going on and going forward. Hallelujah. Why do people go back? Amen. I want you also notice before I look at these reasons, there's only one way to go if you leave Christ. Back. You cannot leave Christ and go forward. You cannot leave Christ in advance. If you leave Christ, there's only one way, one direction to go, and it's back. Amen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back. Back to the darkness. Back to the pig pen. Back to the sin. Back to the turmoil of soul. Why do people go back? This is going to be a limited list. I don't want to scare you at the number 10 because I'm going to go quickly, but I do want you to hear what is said tonight. Number one, why do people go back? They got in it for the wrong reasons. I've seen it lately, even in the church. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to doubt anybody's time at the altar. But I've seen folks, their lives have gotten a mess. And by the way, if your life is in a mess, there is only one solution. Come to Jesus. But there are a lot of folks that are coming to Jesus, not because they want to serve him, not because they want to follow him, not because they want the eternal life. They come to him simply because they're looking for some solution to the big mess they've got their lives in. And they'll come and they'll pray. But then they begin to realize there are yet consequences to their choices. Things begin to toughen. They realize that God's not going to get them a get out of jail free card, that there's still things they have to face, still problems that they have. And all of a sudden they say, well, don't look like God's going to solve every problem for me. And the next thing you know, they're gone. They've disappeared. Why did they turn back? Because they didn't get in it for the right reasons. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching on the right reason, but there's only one right reason. He is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to salvation, and he is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I do want to tell you that God is the answer, but we preach too much. He's the solution to every problem. Yes, that may be true, but the point is, he is Lord. He should be bowed to and served and loved and followed. Listen, Jesus doesn't want to just fix your problems. He wants to change your heart. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus doesn't want to just fix your problem. He wants to change your heart. He just doesn't want to get you out of trouble. He wants to keep you out of hell. Hallelujah. Get in it for the right reason. Amen. Don't just turn to him in a crisis and trouble and then turn back when things either straighten out or fail to straighten out. Number two, why do folks turn back? They get hurt. We used to do a lot of door-to-door ministry, but the times I've dealt with backsliders, you run into someone, invite them to church. I used to go to church. I used to be a Christian. Why don't you go to church anymore? Why aren't you a Christian? Well, I got hurt. Well, first of all, I want you to know, yes, people get hurt. As long as people are people, somebody is going to get hurt. And I don't mean to sound facetious. I'm not intending that. But when someone looks at me and says, I quit church, I quit Jesus, I quit God because I got hurt, I want to look at them and say, do you think you're the only person that ever got hurt? Amen. Do you think, I want to ask them this too. You quit church, you quit Jesus because you got hurt. Do you think the world's not going to hurt you? Do you think nobody in the world is ever going to hurt you? Amen. Well, I quit. I got hurt. Do you think you've never hurt anybody? Oh, I'm not being facetious. I'm just preaching truth. And then I want to look at them, Sister Cruz, and say to them, do you think Jesus was never hurt? What about this? I quit because I got hurt. I'm telling you, if you got hurt, you need to stay with the healer. Hallelujah. You don't need to go back. If you've been hurt, stay. Stick with the healer. Hallelujah. Why do people go back? Number three, they didn't realize what they were getting into. Jesus admonished us that this is an all or nothing proposition. Jesus gave illustrations and parables that if you're going to get into this, you need to count the cost. And I'm not going to lie to anyone. I'm going to tell you when you get into this, I want to tell you it's an all or nothing proposition. You can't halfway be saved. You can't halfway be in. You can't barely follow the Lord. It's everything or nothing. But they didn't realize what they were getting into. They failed to realize, yes, Jesus gives his new life. But Brother Steve, the new life is lived in the real life. I said the new life is lived in the real life. I've tried never to lie to folks. I've heard preachers behind a microphone say if you get saved, you'll never get sick again. You'll never have financial problems. You'll never have another flat tire. Everything will be peachy and great and rosy. I'm telling you, they're lying to you. Amen. We don't need to be saved because everything will be perfect. We need to be saved because everything isn't perfect. I'm not going to lie to you. You'll get saved, the devil will come against you. You may have more flat tires. Your engine may blow up. But the difference is, while you're having the trouble, you've been born again. You're saved. You're on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Do you know what you got into? Yes, it's going to be a battle till we get there, but we're going to win. I said, it's going to be a battle till we get there, but we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. They turned back. They didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't count the cost. Believers will continue to have storms, but we have an anchor. We will continue to have battles, but oh, now we have the captain of our salvation in the forefront of the battle. Oh, somebody shout glory. The devil will continue to fight us, but Jesus has already overcome him, and the victory is sure. We'll still get the flu and pay taxes and have flat tires and burn the roast every once in a while. Oh, but through it all, amen, we've got everlasting life. Hallelujah. Why do people turn back? Number four, they stop believing that it's worth it. They stop believing it's worth it. Between one of my years of Bible school, I got back a little early, a day or two early, and there came a farmer around, went to the church then. He came around to the dorm. He said, anybody want to earn some extra money? Sounds good to me. What are we going to do? Haul hay. How much? 5 cents a bale. Okay. I thought it'd be out there continually, you know, hauling hay, you know, just putting it up on the trailer, you know. He didn't tell us that we'd make a load, and then we'd have to drive for miles through those curvy, hilly, back road, gravel roads, unload it up into some barn somewhere, little barn, have to hand it, relay it on up there, go load up another trailer full, go to some other barn. We worked about 10 hours that day, 8 or 10 hours up into the dark, 5 cents a bale. Came time to pay us, I made 12 bucks for the day. I want to tell you, that fella came around the dorm another day, said, I'm looking for folks that want to help haul hay. I ain't lazy, but it wasn't worth it. $12 for 8 or 10 hours. Boy, that sounds good for the testimony. I used to haul hay 10 hours a day, made 12 bucks. That sounds pitiful, doesn't it? But I didn't ever go again. It wasn't worth it. But some folks, they get in the heat of the battle, and they begin to stop believing it is worth it. But I want to tell you tonight, whatever you are facing, it is worth it. I said, it's worth it to serve God. No one quits if they truly believe it's worth it. I want to tell you, the book said it's going to be worth every trial. It's going to be worth every crisis. It's going to be worth every temptation. It's going to be worth every battle. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. If you're thinking about quitting, let me tell you, let me get it to you straight. It's going to be worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do men turn back? They forget what it was like before they got saved. Apostle Peter said, you have forgotten you were washed from your old sins. They have forgotten what it was, their life without God, their life without Christ, their life with guilt, their life with sin, their life with condemnation. They have forgotten what it was like before they met the Lord. You know, we sing sometimes, I never shall forget the day. But there's a lot of people that get spiritual amnesia. They have forgotten. They forgot what it was like when they were in sin. How do you know they forgot? Because if they remembered, they'd never go back to it. Amen. You read the story of Israel, Brother Bill, and those Israelites, God's people, they suffered horribly at the hand of those Egyptians. They suffered the whip. They suffered having their children thrown to the crocodiles. They suffered the indignity of being slaves. It was horrible suffering in Egypt. And so God delivered his people. He brought them out of Egypt. But when they got in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, they began to complain and to murmur and said, "Would to God we had stayed in Egypt. Won't somebody take us back?" And the Bible gives us a clue to why they were thinking about turning back. The Bible says they begin to think about and talk about the melons and the leeks and the onions. Look what they were doing. They remembered the few good things. They remembered the melons. They remembered the onions. They remembered the leeks, and they forgot the whip, and they forgot the brick making, and they forgot the infanticide of their children. Listen, there may be some small pleasures in the world, but if you start thinking about the melons out there, remember what the whip felt like. Remember what the sin was like. Remember what the bondage was like. Amen. Get your mind off the melons and onions and leeks and remember what a horrible taskmaster sin was. They go back because they forget what God brought them out of. Never forget what God brought you out of. You say amen. Number six, they lose sight of the goal. Listen, we have problems in the here and now, and we would love for everything to be straightened out and made plush and comfortable for us right here in the here and now. But we're not in this just for the here and now. We are on a journey. We are headed somewhere. We are in this to get there. When you lose sight of the goal, you'll find yourself turning back. But if you keep the goal in mind, I've got to make it. I mean, can you say it from your hearts tonight? I've got to make it. I'm headed somewhere. Brother Dale, we're not wandering in circles. We're not in this because it's a nice club to be in. We're in this because we're headed somewhere. We got to go. Hallelujah. How many's got your sight set on heaven? You're going to finish this journey. You're going to press towards the prize for the mark and the prize of the high calling of God. They lose sight of the goal. They forget where they're headed. You can be on a long road trip, and if you forget the goal, you become discontent and disgruntled. But if you remember there's a goal, there's somewhere you're going to end up. You can enjoy that trip as long as you remember you're headed somewhere and you're going to get there. Yes, I've told you it's rough, but I can also tell you, if you keep following Jesus, you will get there. You will arrive. There's going to be a day when you're going to be on the other side of the gate. The gate's going to be closed and locked, and you're going to be secure in heaven. Never lose sight of the goal. We're not here just for the here and now. Number seven, they turn back because they go on feelings instead of faith. Feelings are fickle things. If you go by your feelings, you'll be a yo-yo Christian. Up and down, in and out. You can't go by your feelings. We live, now the just shall live by feelings. Is that the scripture? What's the scripture? The just shall live by faith. I used to love to read novels, fictions. I'm not into fiction anymore. Kind of into the history thing as late. But isn't it interesting? You can read a book you know is fiction. You know it's untrue. And yet that story can move your emotions. Right? Brother Brian, he can read that love story. He knows it's not a true love story. He'll just sit there and weep and cry. I knew I had a tender wife. First time we saw Where the Red Fern Grows. I'd read that a long time. How many remembers Red Fern Grows about the two beagles? She just wept and cried and went through the Kleenexes. Fiction! Emotions moved by fiction. It's made up. In other words, your emotions were moved by something that was not reality. Could I tell us something in our life of living for God? Very little of our emotion is based on reality. We can leave church all upset in our emotions because we think someone's mad at us because they didn't come over and shake our hands. And the truth is, they didn't see us over there. There's no reality to it. But our emotions, most of our emotions are based on non-reality. Right? If we go, people turn back because they go by their emotions. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Everything feels like it's falling apart. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like anybody cares. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. And they turn back. I'm telling you, don't go by your feelings and go back. Go by faith and move forward. Amen. What's another reason? Number 8, they stop investing and being involved. People quit things. People lose interest in things that they have not made an investment in. I want to tell you something. The more you invest in the kingdom of God, the more you're going to be interested in it. Amen? You know who's the most interested in Sidewalk Sunday School? Who's the most interested in it? This is just an example. It's those that have signed up to be a part of the teams. Right? You know why some people turn back? It's because they quit being involved. That goes from church attendance. That goes from involving themselves in worship. That involves they quit coming to the altar or finding a place to pray after the service. The more you become uninvolved, the easier it is for you to turn back. Amen. Why? It's a simple thing. You're interested in the things that you have invested yourself in. And when you quit investing, you lose interest. Those that invest time into the Word of God, those that invest time into prayer, they're not turning back because in making the investment, they keep the interest of their soul in following Jesus. Number 9, why do people turn back? They give in to temptation. I want to tell you, people turn back because the devil's doing everything he can to get people to turn back. To trip them up, to ensnare them, to deceive them, to entrap them, to sidetrack them. I talked to a young man not too long back that was going through tremendous temptation. And I simply said, whatever you do, never stop fighting temptation. I mean, temptation can get awfully strong, young people. Awfully strong. I mean, the devil convinced you that you've just got to go with it. You don't have to go with temptation. Oh, get a hold of this. Just because the devil tempts you, you don't have to say yes. Through Jesus, you have the power to say no. Right? And folks are tempted. I mean, someone gets saved and they've been on drugs. They're thankful that they're free from drugs. But they take a drive across town behind us here and stop at an intersection. There's someone there offering the drug to them. I mean, they just got saved. They just felt the freedom of Christ delivering them. But there is Satan with the temptation to get them to turn back. I'm telling you, there's going to be temptation. But he's the one that makes a way of escape. Hallelujah. I said, he'll make a way of escape. If you give in to temptation, you're going to end up going the opposite direction. You're going to be going back. In fact, that's the whole essence of temptation, is to get you to go back. And so when the devil tempts you, say, no, sir, I'm not going back. I'm going forward. The way forward is to say no to temptation. How many believes Christ can give us a power to say no to temptation? You don't have to turn back. Last of all, I know it's a limited list, but these are things I felt. Last of all, number 10, they don't think they can take it anymore. I minimize nothing. I've seen some of you go through things. It was it seemed like an unbearable burden to carry. things not of your making, your choosing, your sin. They were trials. They were true burdens and difficulties and crisis come upon you. And I want you to know you can begin to think you just can't take it anymore. You know how I know that? I have found myself praying that many a time through the years. I'm telling you now because I'm not there right now, but Brother Rose, there's been times I prayed, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I can't take the pressure. Whatever it might be, whatever your situation is, I can't take the financial thing, whatever it may be. You know, if you were to be honest tonight, there'd be several. You'd lift your hand and say, I've been there. I just didn't think I could take it anymore. I didn't think I could take the battle. I didn't think I could take the burden. I didn't think I could take it anymore. Recently, I just finished the book about the Bataan Death March. And all those soldiers, prisoners went through unimaginable horrors. In fact, I don't know how any of them lived through it. But as they marched them in the hot sun and they without water and food and they were dying by the droves, or they'd fall, they'd either be stabbed or they would be beaten or kicked and whatever. But one made the observation, it was tough, unbelievable tough. But most of the men died, not necessarily from their wounds or from their lack of water, but they simply died as they marched in the hot sun because they gave up believing they couldn't take one more step. And when they got to the point that they believed they could not take another step, that got them. They were out. They were dead. They were killed. It's the belief that you can't go on. And the enemy liked to convince you can't take it anymore. If you and I ever begin to entertain the idea that we can't make it, then we can't. If we ever accept the idea we can't make it, we're not going to make it. But I want to tell you one more time, you could go to heaven tonight and you could begin to talk to folks, and those folks in heaven that are in heaven tonight, they have went through the same things we're facing. They have went through the same things that Christians are giving up serving God over tonight. They have went through them and now they're on the other side of it. They're not in heaven because they never went through anything. They're in heaven because they went through all kinds of things, but they were determined, I can make it, I can make it, I can make it, I can take it by the grace of God. Has he not promised, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you, take my yoke upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? I believe that's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe the grandstand is full of those in heaven that's telling us tonight in the race, you can make it. How many former, most of them are gone, how many former high school math students do I have? Algebra, geometry and stuff? Well, quite a few. How many members you'd lift your hand and say, Pastor Hurst, I can't do this problem. What would I say to you? Yeah, quit lying. Just be honest here. Don't lift your hand and say, I can't do it. Lift your hand and say, I don't want to do it. I know it's tough, but if you really want to do it, you'll get the help you need. You'll study the book again. You'll ask for help. You'll watch a little more. Because if you really want to do it, you'll be able to do it. Wasn't I a compassionate teacher? Listen, the devil will stand right there and tell you, you can't do it. So you'll say, I can't do it. I want to tell you, if you want to do it, if you want to make it, God's going to come alongside by His Spirit and you're going to make it. When you get to thinking you can't take it anymore, remember one thing. He is our burden bearer. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know why we can take it? Because He's already taken it. Oh, hallelujah. You know why you can bear it? He's already borne it. Hallelujah. You know why you can make it? He's already made it. Hallelujah. Well, praise God of the Lamb forever. Peter gives two main reasons to stay in and go forward. Amen. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? In that question is the answer of the two things of going forward. To whom shall we go? Why? Why must we go forward? Number one, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Why go not go back? Why do we not leave the Lord? Because thou hast the words of eternal life, number one. And number two, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Peter said, Lord, the reason we're not turning back, he didn't say, we're not turning back because you're all about blessing. You're all about making life easier. But he said, Lord, we're not turning back because, number one, you have the words of everlasting life. Listen, you can search this world over. You'll find no other source of eternal life. He is the exclusive source of eternal life. I'm telling you, I'm going to stick with him because he's got life, life more abundant, eternal life, everlasting life, joyous life. Hallelujah. I can't turn back. I want to live forever in his presence. Number two, he said, we're not turning back because you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm telling you, a lot of folks today, I've mentioned this several times lately, their whole thing about coming to the Lord is he'll solve your problem. Yes, he can do that. But we need to come to the Lord and bow our knees because he is the Christ. That means the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We should follow him because he is the Lord. He is to be followed. Hallelujah. And so Peter put all that together. Jesus looked at him and said, will you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? That's it. Would you come, music? Everything is in that. If you turn back, what are you going to turn back to? Isn't that the question? To whom shall we go? When I was young, there at the church, First Assembly in Shawnee, Oklahoma, we had a divided choir. All the men would sing on this side, all the men on that. And we just had the thing, not an official choir, but beginning of the service, the MC would announce, who would ever like to come make up the choir? And I'd come on to the choir. I'd come up with my dad as far back as I can remember as a young boy. Even back then, folks recognized my great singing ability. So I would come up to the choir. I remember as a young boy, listen, I was too young. About 9 years old, about Andrew's age. I was too young to know what trials were really about. I'm not minimizing what you go through, young people. You fight a lot of battles. You go through things. Until there's kids and mortgages and all that, you really don't have much trial. I'm not trying to minimize. I'm just saying. How many knows what I'm talking about? I was too young to know what trials were. I wasn't even a teenager yet. I was too young to even know what real temptation was. But even that being true, as a young boy, I'll never forget every time we sang a certain song, it would touch my heart. You know what that song was? I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. And I know I have salvation because I feel it in my soul. I know it for other reasons, but that's right. And I am determined to hold out to the end. Well, those verses said, Satan was so angry. He said he'd soon, what? Be back. When the way gets what? Well, I'm forgetting it now. It's because I'm quoting it, not singing it. Part, when the path gets narrow, he will lose his. But I'm so full of, to him I always say, what? I am determined to hold out to the end. How many's determined not to turn back, but to go forward and follow in him? Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's pray together all over the building. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Father, have your way in this service. Make your great love known. God, you're reaching. Oh, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. You're here tonight. One time you knew the saving grace and power of Christ. You followed him, but you turned back. I want to ask the question, to what did you turn back to? What did you find? Did you find anything that would ever compare to what you had in Jesus? You that may be entertaining, given up, to whom shall you go? Where are you going to end up? What are you going to do? What are you going to find? I'm telling you, there's only one answer tonight. We sang about it Wednesday night. I will never turn back. And if you're here tonight and you've been away from the Lord, there's only one answer. You'll never find, ever, 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 ever find in this world what your soul needs and what your soul craves until you turn to the Lord, come back to him. Let's stand across the building. Amen. Let's pray all over this building. As we're praying, if you're here, you'd like to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, I want to invite you to come. We use this step right here as an altar. If you'd just like to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord as we pray, would you come and kneel and pray? And there'll be folks here immediately to pray with you. Amen. Let's pray all over the building, church. Could you do it? Pray that God would touch hearts. Come on, church. As the church is praying, you'd like to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, would you come right now to this altar? Amen. You'll find him here waiting. You'd find him here with his hands open, his arms open to receive you. Are you here? You like to come to the Lord or come back to him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to wait just a moment. Amen. Let God speak to you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. You've got to answer the question. If you say no to the Lord, to whom shall you go? Where will you find the words of eternal life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you like to come to the Lord? Would you like to come back to him? Hallelujah. I want to leave that open. This is going to call for real honesty tonight. But for whatever reason, either I named it or I didn't name it, but for whatever reason, you've been experiencing the pressure to give up, turn back, turn around. You'd like the help of God tonight to move forward. How many would just be honest and begin to come to this altar and say, I've been under that pressure to give up the race. I've been in the pressure to turn back, give up. But I'm going to step forward to say I'm going forward tonight. Would you like to begin to come and fill these altars? Come right now. Don't hesitate. I know there's more. Yes, God bless you. There's others. Hey, man, you'd say, I've been under the pressure just to give it up, turn around. But I know there's nowhere else to turn. I don't want to give up. I want to move forward. Amen. Are there others that you'd like to come tonight? Amen. Amen. Just come forward right now. What about it, young people? Have you been under that pressure to give up, to turn around, to let go? But you'd like to say tonight, there's nowhere else to turn. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move forward. What about it, Mom? What about it, Dad? Amen. Amen. Would you like to come? See, I've been under that pressure, but I'm saying no. I'm not. To whom shall I go? Where will I turn?
Life's a song. Hallelujah.
Would you like to come as these are coming? Would you like to come back to God? Would you like to come back? Maybe you've never served him. Would you like to come to? Listen, there is help tonight. There is help tonight. There is help tonight. You don't have to give up. You don't have to be lost for eternity. You don't have to do it
without you. Life's a song with no
hallelujah,
end
hallelujah.
Without you.
Oh,
like
blessed be your name.
A heart that
oh, you don't have to.
Without you.
Oh,
we're
yes,
just
Lord.
Actors
yes, Lord.
On a stage.
Yes, Lord.
Like a child who's lost his way.
Oh, yes,
couldn't
Lord.
Be here today.
Oh, yes, Lord.
You.
Yes, Lord. I will never turn back. You don't have to.
I can take a plane, high up in the sky, and fly for a million miles. Write a melody so sweet, make a tear turn into a smile. I can see the color of spring, I can even feel the weather change. And soon the leaves fall and winter calls.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Because nothing ever stays the same.
Yes, Lord. Come on, let's seek Him.
When
Thou hast the words of eternal
life.
And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
I think I know everything.
Oh,
like I'm made of here on my own.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And like the wind that blows, like a flower that grows, still with all I can do, without you, life's a song with no end, without you, it's like having